When we sang those first two verses of "Peace, Be Still," if you were on that boat with Jesus when the storm came up, how do you think you would have reacted? Perhaps as the disciples did, full of fear? Perhaps so. But we understand that with Jesus, that Jesus takes care of every storm in our life. And yet, as human beings, here we are tonight as New Testament Christians, perhaps most of us tonight. And those storms come in our lives also. But think about this for just a moment. When those storms come into your life, do you have a problem with fear? Are you ever afraid of what might happen in your life? Do you ever perhaps dread of a scene like this? And if you do dread of a scene like that, I'm going to need my clicker. Thank you. If you do fear of a scene like this, what are you going to do? What can you do about it? Do we understand that there's just some things in life that are out of our control, that we have no control over? Fear, obviously, can be one of those issues. I'm not saying we can't control our fear, because at times we can control our fear. But there's just so much in this world that puts us in turmoil that as Christians, we can become easily distracted. Would that be you? Are you easily distracted by the things in this world? Do you sit at home maybe and watch the local news, and then after the local news, the national news, and sometimes the international news, and just see what's going on in this vast world of ours? And if you're one of those people, that doesn't make you a bad person. I'm not implying that. What I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we'll let that get inside of us, all right? And then we'll start worrying about things that's going on locally, nationally, and internationally. And so our mind gets distracted. Can I say this? Can I say that's exactly what Satan wants to do to your mind? That he wants to distract your mind, to take your mind off of God and start worrying. You know, if you go on Google and you do a statistics tonight when you get home, and notice what psychiatrists and psychologists say about worry, they'll say that 93% of the things that we worry about, 93% of the things that we worry, not concerned about, worry about, we have no control over. How about that? If I don't have control over it, what can I do? I can't have any control over it. I can't do anything about it. All right? What we need to do is to put our hope and faith in Jesus Christ. So is it the right arrow or is it the left arrow? Oh, there we go. Okay, let's see if that does any. There we go. Okay. You can follow along in your Bibles. You can read off the slide, whatever your preference may be. Listen to how the Apostle Paul, via the Holy Spirit, instructs us how to handle matters in life. At verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning there at verse 3, Paul begins by saying, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Watch this. For God has not, church, get this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, Paul says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul says at verse 12, for this reason, that I'm a teacher, that I'm a preacher, that I'm an apostle to the Gentiles also. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why aren't you ashamed, Paul? He says, for I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul says, come what may in my life. Listen, if anyone had a reason to worry, Paul had a reason to worry. And it's this same Paul, it's this same apostle who would be locked up in a Roman prison, and he would write epistles or letters to a number of churches by saying, take comfort. Take comfort. He would write letters to churches that would say, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. Here he is with one hand in a stock and a free hand to write. I don't know if he's right-handed or left-handed. But be that may, he had a free hand to write. And he says, rejoice evermore. Well, all fear is not that bad, okay? Not all fear is bad. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 there at verse 13, there's a reverence type of fear that we're to have. And that's a good fear. Solomon ends that at verse 14, but at verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, what is it, Solomon? What's the conclusion of the whole matter? After everything that you have taught us in the book of Ecclesiastes, that all is vanity and vexation, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? To fear God and to keep his commandments. There's the bottom line. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, you fear God and you keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is the duty of mankind. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's take a look over there, if you will. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen how the writer stated it here in these two verses of verse 28 and 29. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 28, and the Bible reads this way. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, here it is, with reverence and godly fear. Hey, why worship God that way? With reverence and godly fear. Look at the next verse. There's your answer. For our God, look at that. For our God is a consuming fire. That's why you worship God that way. That's why you give God the godly and reverence fear that he deserves. Hey, it's okay to fear our adversary, isn't it? It's okay to fear the devil to a degree, not to the degree that you're just going to surrender and give in to him. I think it was Rommel in the Northern African theater in World War II who made this statement, a military strategic statement. He said to know your enemy is to defeat your enemy. Does that make sense? That makes sense. To know the devil is to defeat the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 there at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, do you know how to prevent that from happening to you? Look at verse 9. Him resist. That's the devil in verse 8. Him resist. How do you resist him? Well, keep reading. Steadfast in the faith. Know the devil. Know his tactics. And you can defeat him. And you'll have no fear of him. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 13, Paul writes here that evil men will wax, I think the King James is wax, or grow worse and worse. Sadly, we have to fear men sometimes. But I'm saying not all fear is bad. Jesus states this way to the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2 at verse 10. He tells the church there, don't fear because you're going into tribulation for 10 days. Perhaps not a literal 10 days, but for a short period of time. He said, don't fear it, but be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. So again, fear, fear, fear. Do you have a fear? Do I have a fear? We may have fears here tonight of different sorts, but how are we going to handle those fears in our life? Let's dissect this word afraid in the form of an adjective. And notice what it means. Feeling fear. Filled with apprehension. Feeling regret. Unhappiness. Feeling reluctance, unwillingness, distaste. Some synonyms of the word afraid would be scared, fearful, disquieted, apprehensive, timid, afraid, alarmed, frightened, terrified, implies inner apprehensiveness. Now, those are good synonyms, and that's good definitions of what it means to be afraid. We've all experienced it to some degree or another, haven't we? We may be experiencing it tonight. Let me ask you, do you have a fear of going to hell? Are you right with your God tonight? Yes or no? You answer that. And if you're not right with your God tonight, and if I'm not right with my God tonight, my knees need to be shaking. Because I'm going to lose my soul. And we don't know fear like that fear. That's why we need to be ready. That's why we need to have our house in order, spiritually speaking. And if our house is not in order, spiritually speaking, we need to be full of fear. Sometimes we just don't get it because it's not tangible. You know, we can't maybe see it. We can't touch it. Are you in fear of hellfire? If this were a 99-cent Bic lighter, who here tonight would be willing to let me strike the lighter and put it under your palm? How long do you think you could withstand the heat from that flame? We know immediately we'd be pulling back. Why? Because it's tangible. We feel the pain. We feel the pain. So think about this. We're fearful of a 99-cent Bic lighter. And there's folks who aren't in fear of hellfire. Well, they've got it all. They've got it all backwards, don't they? This doesn't even register on the scale of hellfire. We understand that. So again, there's times when we need to be afraid, and there's times we are afraid. So we did this. Now, this is back in 2015. So it's a little over a year old. The top 10 fears of 2015. Now, you can update that. You can go to Chapman University's webpage and get the 2016 fears. Look at that. Look at that. 58%. Listen, above are the 10 fears for which the highest percentage of Americans reported being afraid or very afraid. First one, 58%. We're afraid of corruption of government officials. Can you believe that? Secondly, 44.8% of these people who were polled as Americans were in fear of cyber terrorism. Hearing a lot about that too. Next, 44.6% of these Americans polled were in fear of corporate tracking of personal information. Next, 44.4% in fear of terrorist attacks. 41.4% government tracking, again, of personal, this time government tracking of personal information. 40.9% warfare. 39.6% in fear of identity theft. 39.2, economic collapse. 37.4, running out of money in the future. 36.9, credit card fraud. You haven't seen nothing yet. Fear of war, man-made disasters. 33.0, fear of reptiles and personal anxieties. 32% in fear of civil unrest. 31.4, fear of tornado and natural disasters. 30.7, global warming and the environment. 29.7, illegal immigration and the government. 25.5, insects. Again, personal anxieties. 22%, loneliness. Personal future. 21.9, dying and their personal future. 21.0, fear of water and personal anxieties. 8.5, they made it. They actually admitted that they were in fear of zombies and personal anxieties. And then last but not least, 6.8% are in fear of clowns. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of fear going on in the world, isn't there? Some we would probably question, but be that as it may, let's look at fearing fear itself, and let's look at the consequences of fear. So we're going to go through the Bible here for the remaining part of the sermon, and we're going to see what the Old Testament has to say about fear, and we're going to see what the New Testament has to say about fear, and then we're going to wind it up by saying, how do I overcome it? I mean, if this lesson is relevant to me, there may be those here tonight, I have no fear of anything. Well, that's good. Good for you, okay? But remember, there's some things we need to be fear of, all right? So let's start with how the consequences of fear can create havoc in our lives. Let's look at the emotional effect that it can have. So we look at anxiety. There may be some here tonight dealing with anxiety. What it stems from, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. But I know that some anxieties are prompted by fears. I also know that anxieties oftentimes lead to depression or vice versa. Why? I don't know it all, but I know fears can create these issues. I know having fear of certain things can make a person feel angry and develop just a lot of bitterness in your life because of fear, but not just fear. When you're fearful of something in life, there's no joy. There's no peace in your life. And I want you to understand, just to interject this at this point in time, that that's, again, the objective of the devil, to steal your joy. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you're not full of joy, something's missing in your life. The devil is a thief. John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose. That's his objective, to steal your joy. And when you don't have joy, you don't have peace. And when you don't have peace, you're just hopeless. Now, that's some consequences. But now let's move on to how this affects us physically. For example, it can create ulcers in your body. Fear can, because you don't have that peace that you really need to have, and you're full of fear. Therefore, you're starting to have issues. Maybe your blood pressure goes through the roof, which could possibly lead to a stroke. How about heart problems? That happens. Fear can lead to substance abuse, as if we don't have enough of that already. Be it alcohol, be it drugs. Make your own list. Sadly, so many think that's the way out. I'm tired of being afraid. I can't cope with it any longer. I've tried this, I've tried that. It's not working. And there you go. In your old Bible, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 at verse 15, there's a Bible man here called Jehaziel who is speaking. And notice what he says here that God wants him to say. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. You remember that divided kingdom, Dan? Yeah. And you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Did you hear that? Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, you want to apply that right, okay? The battle is not yours, but God's. There's times when we got to give it over to God. If something is eating us up spiritually, and we're trying to cope with it, if you haven't, if God wasn't your first resource, that's problem number one. See, when these things happen in our life, what we have a tendency to do sometimes, we have a tendency to hit the panic button before we ever think about going to God in prayer and praying for God to remove this. We totally forget what the scriptures have taught us over the years, like 1 Peter 5 at verse 7, where Peter says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Did you get that? Isn't that a beautiful verse? I can't deal with it anymore. I try to do it my way. Strike one. Don't try and do it your way. You do what Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says. trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Watch this. And He will direct your paths. How's that for a prescription? Yeah, let's follow that advice when we need to, all right? In chapter 32, at verse 7, now we got Hezekiah on the scene. Watch what happens here. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria. That's old Sennacherib at this time. God said, don't be afraid of him. Don't be dismayed, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are, get this, for there are more with us than with him. Oh, it's kind of like 2 Kings 18. Elijah, the prophet, was up against the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You remember that? 450 against one. Guess who won? You see, you plus God are always the majority. That's what he's saying here. Think about that. Don't fear. Don't fear. Let's keep going here. In Proverbs, Solomon again says in chapter 3 at verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. How many of us practiced that September the 11th, 2011? I didn't practice it. And it was there all the time. I got to trust in God's word. He's in control. He's in control. Isaiah 51:7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Is that us? That's us. Do not fear the reproach of men. Don't be afraid of their insults. Why? God is with us. Jeremiah says it this way, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord. Why? For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Speaking of Israel. And old Ezekiel, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We get into the New Testament. Jesus says in Luke 12 at verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Isn't that the truth? Don't fear those who can kill the body. And after that, they have nothing else they can do. If you're going to fear, you've got to fear God who can destroy our soul in hell. Well, here in John chapter 14, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Not this heart. Neither let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, that takes discipline, doesn't it? To put complete, thorough trust in God. And yet this is what God is telling us to do as His children. Acts 18. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. 1 Peter 3. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. That whole epistle, really, of 1 Peter is dealing with suffering and persecution and fears from outside sources. Brother James prayed in his prayer that God would continue to bless us, that we would not be molested or persecuted, that we may continue to have this freedom to worship God. We ought to. So, do not be afraid of their threats. Don't be troubled. Again, we quoted this earlier, Revelation 2:10 to the church at Smyrna. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, all right, that you may be tested, and you'll have that tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Well, there's just a host of commands that we looked at. Don't be afraid. Where does our faith come in here now? Because it takes faith not to be afraid. The psalmist said, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, think about what can man do to you? The greatest thing that man can do to you is to kill you. The most extreme thing. If we're living a righteous, godly life and something awful like that should happen to one of us in this assembly. You know, there's a lot of ugly going on in our societies today. We never know when something evil like that might happen to us. But we do know this. If I'm walking in the light as God is in the light and something like that happens to me, I'm ready. I'm okay. Hey, my body may be gone, but my soul is saved. And that's the bottom line. Having our souls saved. Let's look how the writer of Hebrews, he says there, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. No need to be covetousness, you know. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Let me stop there just for a moment and pose this a thought. Have you ever in your Christian life felt that God was so far away, that something is so over you, you're so overwhelmed with whatever it might be, whatever the issue might be, and again, you just don't know really what to do, but you should know what to do. But God seems so, you just can't connect with God, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Have you ever felt that way? If you have ever felt that way, or if you ever do feel that way, remember this question. Who moved? Now the passage says, I'll never leave you, God says. I'll never forsake you. Who moved? So, why? That we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Seems like we've heard that already once in the Psalms. That's exactly right. What can man do to me? Okay, coming to the close. How do we overcome it? I'm dealing with fear. It's really eating me up. I just haven't told anybody about it. Maybe people are sensing that something's wrong with me, and I just haven't opened up about it yet. Can I beat this? Well, let's see. Can I grow more in my faith? Yes or no? Am I practicing what Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 5? And besides this, besides all those blessings in the previous four verses, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, moral goodness. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. If you lack these things, Peter says, on the other side of that coin, if you lack these things, you're blind. You can't see afar off. That is spiritually blind. Why, you've even forgotten that you were purged from the blood of Christ. So he says at verse 10, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For in doing so, at verse 11, for so an entrance shall be granted unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So yeah, maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to grow in faith. That's the first step. 2 Peter 3 at verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you full grown tonight spiritually? We're always in pursuit of that perfect man, not sinless man, perfect, complete man, aren't we? Mature man. That's what we're striving for. All right. What about practice our faith? James says it this way in James chapter 1 there at verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Look what verse 22 says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Watch this. Deceiving your own self. Verse 23 reads, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself. He goes away and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. But watch verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in his deeds. Folks, this is advice from the Scripture on how to overcome fear, because fear will distract you from being the Christian you ought to be. We need to pray. We need to be thankful. This is beautiful. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And here's Paul again. And he is writing from that prison in Rome. Look how he starts out, verse 6. King James, I think, says, be careful for nothing. New King James says it this way, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What did Paul just say? He said, don't be anxious about anything. Don't fear about anything. How many of us take his advice? It's here. There's our advice. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now watch this. If you do what verse 6 says, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You want peace instead of fear? Do what verse 6 says. When you do what verse 6 says, look how the thread is pulled here. Look what verse 7 says. All right. Well, let's just stay right there in Philippians and watch this. How about focusing on the things of God, the things that are good? If you do what verse 7 says, look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Quit meditating on the national and local and international news and meditate on these things. Now watch this. If you do what verse 8 says, look what verse 9 says. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. I mean, there it is. There's how you defeat fear, all right? This is what we're talking about here. Perhaps there's one more. How about looking beyond our temporary fears? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up there at verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, Paul says, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in your body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, here's what is written in Psalm 116, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Did you hear that? For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore, we don't lose heart. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, Paul says. For our light affliction, what we have to go through here on earth, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hey, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You got to go into chapter 5, so bear with me. Listen to chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, that is this tent, this body is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hopefully this lesson may have helped someone tonight. That's the intent of the Scriptures within themselves. To bring us peace, to bring us joy. For we don't have to have this spirit of fear. If you're here tonight and you have something on your heart that is keeping you from serving God the way you ought to serve God, you're just not as close to God as you ought to be. Listen, there's a remedy. In your Bibles, in James chapter 4 at verse number 7, James says, therefore, submit yourselves unto God. Understand what submit means. You're under God's control. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, let me say this. The more we submit ourselves to God, the more we resist the devil, the less trouble we have out of him. See how easy that is to understand? Now, it may be a little bit more difficult to implement or apply, but there's a good suggestion. But we're not through, because the next verse says, at verse 8, draw near to God, and he'll what? He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners. Purify your hands, you minds, you double-minded. Do you need to do that tonight? Do you need to cleanse your hands? Are you tired of being double-minded? Will you make up your mind what you need to do and do it? Render your life to God. Come to him on his terms. As the old song says, all to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. If we can help you with your spiritual needs, do so as we stand and sing the song Brother Mark has chosen.